Good morning. I praise the name of the Lord Jesus this morning, who knows just how to minister. You know, like that manifold illustration, He knows just exactly what every person needs. He knows what the preacher needs. And I'm sure that there are those sitting in this congregation that are aware of that this morning, that the Lord Jesus is alive and He's well, sitting at the right hand of the Most High, looking upon His people, knowing every soul, knowing the need of every heart, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, He ministers to the need of everyone. I praise His name this morning. Can we stand to our feet, please, and have a word of prayer? Our holy and loving Master, thank You. Thank You this morning for the way You work in our midst. We are not worthy of it, for our faith is small. But we do look to You with gratitude, knowing our weaknesses only magnifies Your grace. To think that You would have mercy on us and that You would look upon us with favor and kindly visit with us this morning. We bless You for that. We consider it Your grace, Lord. We consider it Your goodness and do praise Your name for it. Now I pray that You would take this message also, that You would add to it the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would strengthen my heart, guide my lips, and minister to the heart of each one. Thank You, Father, for this opportunity to meet, open up the Word of God in this country. Free of harm, free of fear this morning, to lift up the Word of God. I bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I'd like to welcome all of you here. Welcome to you visitors that are here this morning. I've been reading some different materials that have to do with the persecution in the 1500s that came to Anabaptists in England and Holland. And it has made me greatly appreciate to be able to stand up here in a free assembly with all of you, unafraid. That is a real privilege. That the Catholic Church, that giant that John Bunyan wrote about, is truly weakened and does not have the liberty at this time to walk in our doors this morning and put us all to death. I think we read last night that King Charles V, when he died, had put to death over 15,000. To the stake in his Catholic zeal. So I appreciate this morning just being able to come and lift up the Word of God this morning. I don't have to be afraid of who's going to hear me. Don't have to be afraid of who saw me come in here this morning. And I have good faith that I'll see all of you next week. That's a privilege that I don't take lightly this morning. Well, this morning I would like to I don't know if I'm going to preach or share or teach. I'm not sure. The Lord spoke to my heart and I'm going to tell you what He said and expound upon it a bit. But if you'd turn in your Bibles to Revelations chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, I would like to speak about first love. And I perceive by the leading that God led on other hearts this morning that I'm on the right track this morning. I praise the Lord for His affirmations and the way He puts words in brothers' mouths and guides our service here this morning. All right, I'd like to read just these first seven verses then. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Well, first of all, before we go any further, I feel like it's necessary for us to remember one thing about this passage of Scripture. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. These are not the words of a preacher or a philosopher or a church father of bygone years. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. These are not words we can just lay aside as though, well, maybe that's a little too harsh, or maybe we could lay them aside thinking, well, I don't know if that's for me. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. I think that's the important place to start this morning. I wonder if you can understand what it means to hear the word of the incarnate word. When Jesus speaks, He is the incarnate word of God. And John saw Him standing there. I wonder if you can see Him there this morning. As He stands in the midst of the seven lampstands, He had a robe to His feet, His paps girt about with pure gold of Ophir, His face shining like the sun, His eyes like burning flames of fire, His feet looking like burnished bronze that had been caused to glow while in the furnace. And He stood there, and when He spoke, John turned to see who would have such a voice that sounds like a trumpet. Who has such a voice that sounds like mighty waters when He speaks. And turned to see the Lord Jesus. And these are the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to him. Notice here in the first verse it says, unto the church, the angel of the church of Ephesus write. And I'd like to say this morning, Jesus is saying to the church at Ephrata this morning the same thing. I believe we can just take these words to our hearts and say, Church of Ephrata, listen to what I have to say. And I'm not laying condemnation or anything upon any individual, but I think we have a right as we come to the Word of God to not just think of it as if some church back in Asia Minor there had a problem and the Lord Jesus was speaking. But we need to take it to our own heart and ask questions to our own hearts this morning. He says, I know thy works. In verse 2 there. I know thy works. Jesus is interested in our works. If you look through the second and third chapter, you'll see that every church Jesus addressed, He began His address with these words, I know thy works. Do you know why Jesus said that? Because Jesus is interested in works. He is watching your works. He is watching my works. He knows our works. He knows our inner works. And our outer works. When He speaks of works, He isn't just saying all the good things you do on the outside.
But He's also speaking about all those things that are going on the inside, which are also just as real works. In Revelation 22:12, He says, "And behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." If you want to verify that works salvation is not a heresy out of the pit of hell like it's laid out today, just go to your concordance and look up the word work and works. And just read those passages of Scripture. And you will come to the end and not be able to say that anymore. Jesus is interested in our works. He also says, "I know thy patience," or thy labor, in verse 2 there. "I know thy labor." The word for labor is kapos. It means trouble, difficulty. It means the bother of your life. It's the hardships, the labor, and the toil of your Christian life. And I appreciated your testimony this morning, brother. That was so fitting. Because it is a labor. The Christian life is a labor. It's a toil. Jesus knows all about the narrow way of righteousness. He knows that it's a way of toil and a way of labor. And He says, "I know it." It's not like you're toiling in obscurity where the Lord Jesus has no care. He knows just exactly what's going on in your life. He knows. And He says, "I know your works. I know your labor. I know thy patience," He says. "I know your endurance, your fortitude, your steadfastness, your perseverance." Our toiling on with perseverance and endurance in the true faith is known to Jesus. And there is an assumed approval in His acknowledging of those things. This is not condemnation here. He's not saying you're doing wrong. He's saying, "I know what you're doing." And there's an assumed approval in it. That you're doing good. You're laboring. You're working. It says, "And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." And David, after you had that opening, I had to say, this is the message, exactly what this is saying. It's saying that there is a labor in this day, our day. This is what's going on in our day today. "Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and they are not, but you tried them, you examined them, and came to the end of the examination and said, liars." This is a labor of emotions and conscience. We must walk so carefully. I remember David, he says, "Thou hast put my feet in a broad way." I don't know if you understand those words, but there's sometimes when you're walking like this and you can hardly get, you know, I don't know if you're trying to get to the back corner of your shop or something, and you've just got to pick your way and can't find your way over to where you need to go. There are times like that in your Christian life where you don't know where to put your next foot. You can't put your foot in a place. There's no place to put it. It's just so difficult to walk and you can't make any progress. You can't get where you're going and it's difficult. And David says, what a blessing it is when God puts your feet in a broad place where you can walk. But in these days, what Jesus is talking about here is just like that. When every footstep has to be judged and you're walking away. You're walking your way through a myriad, it seems, of those that are trying to deceive and make you feel like you're wrong and you are an error and you're trying to work through the whole thing in your emotions and your heart just seems like it's going to break sometimes and you can't find your way. It's a labor. It's a patient endurance. It says, you have borne. You cannot bear them which are evil. But it says, and thou hast borne. I want to say one thing about this day. It says, there seems to be no end to the new prophets with a strange twist in their theology. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it seems like there's no end to it. They are multiplying by the day. Every man is going out on his own to say something new and make a group to follow himself or whatever. There seems to be no end of it. And it takes some grit to dare to try them, like 1 John says, and then find them liars. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or you know what I'm talking about, but somewhere down inside, it takes some energy and some virtue to have the boldness to say, this man is a liar. It's draining. I don't know if you feel that, Rick, but when it just, you don't want to say that. You'd rather not say it. You'd rather just go on, but the has to be, there's something not right. There's something odd about this whole thing. And at the end of the day, you have to say, it's a lie. And then comes all the barrage of pressures and a continual trying to dissuade you that that's not true. It's to say that they are liars calls for a toil and endurance just in itself. Jesus knows how this goes. He did the same in His day on earth. And He sees our desire after truth. And our determination to preserve a true faith. I believe that's what He has in His heart when He says this. I know that you want the truth. I know that you're seeking after truth and that you have examined these men and they're liars and you've said so. I know that. Jesus says that. The word born is it means to bear or endure. It says, thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and hast not fainted. The word is bastazo. It means to carry, or to bear, or endure. Did we think that the Christian life was going to be just all lightsome and easy? It's not. Jesus says, I know the way you're walking, Ephesus. I know the way you're going, Ephrata. It's a burden, and you're bearing it patiently. You're holding it up. Notice it says, for my name's sake. Are we jealous for the name of Jesus in our day? Is that really what we're after? Are we jealous for the name of Jesus, and we're doing these things for that jealousy? Is not the name of Jesus defamed and shamed in our generation? As we have come to know His goodness and His grace, then we are jealous for His name and we say, the name of Jesus has got to be honored and glorified. And we begin to lift it up in truth. And that brings difficulties. The word to tire means to become weary or sick. Notice it says you have not fainted or become tired or weary or sick. You're just keeping on going. And Jesus knows, He says to you, He says, it's right and good that you keep your courage up, that you're joyful in the midst of trial. It's good for you that you press through and you're doing well at staying under the burden and that yet there's a courage in you and you're not fainting. And when you would expect the man to fall over, and you'd expect the woman to give up hope, she continues and continues and continues. There's a renewed joy in her life. Jesus says, I know. You're doing well in that. It is right that we maintain our courage and joy in the midst of the labor. And Jesus is pleased with this. He knows that you are trusting Him for the strength and courage needed for each day's tasks. That's good. Look at what He says here. I know your works, Ephrata, I know your labor. I know thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and they are not, and hast found them liars. You have borne, you have patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and hast not fainted. Good. Well done. I don't know if you relate to that. Doesn't that sound like our lives? When I read those words in my quiet time, I couldn't help but put myself there. I believe that I am in that place. We are striving for those things. If I had to liken the effort of Christian fellowship to any of the seven churches described here, I think I would put her right here. More than any of the other churches. Not that the others don't apply some way, but on the whole, I would say that Ephesus describes what we're seeking to do. But verse 4, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." The word left is aphaemi. It's the Greek word to mean let go, give up, or abandon. In the press, in the fight, as it were, under the load, in the struggle, with the perseverance, and biting your lip and trying to keep going, somewhere you let go, you abandoned, you turned away from first love. Notice the simplicity of His words. See that? I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. See how He need not define His meaning? No definition. No explanation. Why? Why does He say it so simple to us? I have somewhat against thee, Ephesus. Thou hast left thy first love. It's because the soul of His beloved knows exactly what He's talking about. Isn't it? Does He really need to explain Himself? I don't think so. The words come very clearly to the heart. And to the heart that has left the first love, that heart knows exactly what He's talking about. Thou hast left thy first love. This is against us. While all those other things are for us, Jesus says, this is against you. Is our heart open to the clear reproof of Christ this morning? Are you willing to pause in the blessedness of a beautiful Sunday morning like this, and then hold up your heart to the Lord Jesus and honestly ask Him, how is my first love to you this morning? How do you see my first love this morning? Are we willing to do that? You know, there's something goes on in the heart when we hear these words. We can back off and say, are you talking to me? What are you trying to say? We can react like that to the Word of God. Or are we willing to just stop our life at the Word of God this morning and just say, well, Lord, what about my first love? What do you say? We can only be more blessed if we do that. Verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. There are three simple verbs in Christ's command here. Remember, repent, and do. There's three verbs there. And I'd like to talk about those three. I'd like to deal with each one individually just a little bit. But first of all, I want to go on and finish this verse, and then I'll come back to those three points. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I do not want to define exactly what that means to us as a church or to us as individual believers here this morning. But it seems quite clear that Jesus Christ is not happy with the condition of having left first love. And while He threatens the removal of the candlesticks, will we debate how serious the threat is and hesitate to search our hearts at the rebuke of Him who paid the ransom with His blood? And I say that from experience. The tendency is to argue, well, what does He mean by remove the candlestick? But I think if that's our question this morning, we're way off. We're way off if we're asking, what does that mean? I don't know exactly what the removal of the candlestick means, but it is clear to me that our Lord is not happy with those in this condition. And that is all we should need. All we should need to know is the Lord is not happy with a heart in this condition. And that should move us to search our hearts, lest we be in that condition and the Lord not be happy with us. Who would like to live their Christian life with the disapproval of Jesus Christ, but somehow wiggle our way through life without repenting and first love left behind? What a sorry way to live when Jesus simply commands us to remember, repent, and do. And He'll be pleased with us. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You hear the kind favor of Jesus here. I marvel. I mean, this is a serious issue with Him. And He's giving a rebuke and a warning to His church and saying, you have not just erred in a small matter, you have erred in a big matter. And yet He's quick to say, yet I do acknowledge in you that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And as I understand the Nicolaitans, it's mentioned in other places in Scripture. Coupled with the doctrine of Balaam. And as I understand the Nicolaitans, it is the one that's afloat today saying that the new birth, spirituality, and fellowship with God are of the heart. And a man may be a spiritual man, though he is living in frank immorality. Jesus somehow in the midst of hating those things, Jesus hates that line of thinking. See what He says. Which thing I also hate. So amen. If you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans today, if that doctrine that says it's okay to be a fornicator and claim the name of Jesus Christ and worship Him and yet live in fornication, if that's detestable to you and you can't stand it, you're in good company this morning. Because Jesus says, I hate it too. I give you that. I hate it. But somehow, in the midst of hating those things, first love is easily left. I think we have to acknowledge that. Jesus is saying, Ephrathah, Ephesus, you are doing very well. I hate the things you hate. You're trying those men, finding them false. You're walking that path. But you know, somehow, it goes naturally with that strength, this weakness. This weakness of first love goes naturally with those strengths. And that hatred has a tendency to derail first love.
Is it possible to hate those things and yet hold first love? Yes, it is. Jesus does it. But I think that when we hold on to first love adds a grace and an intensity to that hatred. I don't know how to all put that in words, but I know it. There's something different between a religious hatred for something and something where I love the Lord Jesus so much that those things are so detestable to me. And there's a difference between the two. The one actually furthers hatred. First love actually furthers hatred for those things. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Notice that He's not saying to the entire church to have a council meeting. He says, you, do you have an ear this morning? Are you sitting here this morning reading these words, hearing these words, and you have an ear for God? And your heart is listening. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to all the churches. It's not just a church matter. It's a matter for you. It's a matter for me. Personally. Individually. Jesus says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh. Overcometh what? Overcometh what? Overcometh this weakness of letting go of his first love. Overcomes the loss of first love. It's the only thing that he has fault with the whole church. He that overcometh and holds first love. That's what Jesus is saying. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's all I have to say to you. That's all I have to say to you, Ephesus. Isn't that amazing? What a simple message. What a profound message. I want to eat the tree of life. I don't think that that's just a pie in the sky by and by. Story of church life. That's not just that old time religion. This is the Word of the Son of God speaking to you and I this morning, that if you will take seriously what He's saying this morning in your heart, and if we together will say, I am going to get a hold of my first love and I'm not going to let it go. Jesus says, if you will overcome, I will give to you a privilege someday. And personally, I believe it's a real privilege. I think it's a real tree. I think it's real life. I don't understand all those things, but I think there was a tree of life in the garden that if Eve had gone and picked the fruit of it and eaten it with her mouth, and it had gone into her stomach, she would have lived forever. Maybe I'm naive to think so simplistic, but that's what I believe. And if I'm wrong, I'm sure I'll be delighted. But Jesus says, there's a tree I know. It's called the tree of life. It's in the middle of a place you can't even imagine. We call it paradise. And when you rise up in your heart and say, I for one am going to acknowledge what the Lord is saying to my heart, and I'm going to go back to my first love. Jesus says, I will give you the privilege to eat of that tree in that wonderful place. Thank you, Lord. All right, I'd like to deal with these three words here. Remember, repent, and do. The first word is remember. Jesus says, if you are in a state and you feel like you've lost your first love, here are my commandments to you. The first is to remember.
And I think the first thing you need to remember is to remember the cross and what it is to have your sins forgiven. First love flows out of sins forgiven. Wasn't that where you got your first love? At the cross? When I saw the Lord Jesus and I suddenly understood, this man is there for me. And I received His work by faith for myself. And I believed His word that my sins are forgiven. And my love for Him started there. That's first love. When Jesus says, remember from whence thou hast fallen, I think we need to go back to the cross and remember what it was like when we first saw the Lord there. When we first knew the forgiveness of our sins. If you have never seen the Lord Jesus upon the cross as the sacrifice in your place, and you have never believed Him there and felt the love for Christ and the gratitude and the joy, then you have not left your first love. You never had it. If that's your state this morning, you don't need to go back to your first love. You need to go back to the cross. And you need to be converted. You need to be born again. You need to take the Lord Jesus at His word and say, I believe that that sacrifice is for my rebellious, sinful life. And He is my only salvation. I cannot save myself. If you've never been there, and you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you've never been converted. But when you get there, when you come to Christ that way, and you receive Him, and you believe Him, there is a love, there is a joy, and there is a gratitude that naturally comes from the heart that believes, my sins are forgiven. If that's not been your experience ever in your life, this message is not for you, except that you are excluded. You can be included, but you are not dealing with a first love issue. You're dealing with conversion. You need to be born again. There are works of first love. Just like Jesus said, I know your works. I know that you've left your first love. There are works of first love. Maybe some of you can think of some in your life when you think back in your Christian experience and you see a day when there were works flowing in your life that you could say those were works of first love. There was heartfelt prayer. I don't know if you understand those words, but heartfelt prayers. Love is not something we can pretend and get by. The Lord Jesus sees the heart. You cannot pretend to love Christ. You cannot pretend to have a vibrant prayer life. You cannot change the heart with the voice. There must be heartfelt prayer. Can we be honest with Jesus Christ today? Just honest. Just come with an open heart to Him saying, Lord, where am I with love for You? Where am I? Can we be honest from the heart and pray, Lord, You are my all. You are everything I hope for in this life. Is there heartfelt prayer in the life? Those are works of first love. There's voluntary service. Remember, when Christ did so much for me, that load is finally off my conscience. The sun is brighter. The sky is bluer. Everything is clearer. Oh, what do you want me to do? Gladly, I'll do anything for You. Voluntary service. I don't know if any of you
marveled at the stars in your first love, but I know in my life the stars were a marvel to me. I used to sit under the stars and try to wrap my small mind around the vastness of creation and to think that the one who spoke all that into existence cares about the man who's standing down here. That was a marvel to me. It's the marvel of first love. Quiet time in the Word, when I want to get away, when I want to shut the door, when I want to open the Word, I want God to speak to me. I want to have an open heart. I want to hear what He has to say. I don't want to be excluded from the Word. That's first love. A work of first love. Meditation on spiritual things. When I don't want carnal conversation, my heart is dry with carnal conversation, I want something spiritual. I want to be fed in my spirit. I want to think on things above. I want to keep alive the love that's in my heart for God. I don't want it to be drained by the carnality of this life. Meditation on spiritual things. Meditation and memorization of Scriptures. Repeating over and over again verses of Scripture that the Lord spoke to me. Turning away from evil, vain thoughts and putting my mind on things that are of above. Those are works of first love. Singing with thankfulness in our heart to the Lord. Just a new song in our heart to the Lord. Does not your soul thirst for God? Even now, in your inner man, are you not wishing for more of a love for Him? If I died for my faith today, I've been pondering this as I've been reading The Martyr's Mirror and some stories about that. If I died for my faith today, would it be for love of the Lord Jesus? You know, 1 Corinthians says that you can do it for other things. You can give your body to be burned for other things. But if I were to give my life for my faith today, would it be for love of the Lord Jesus? Will the love I have for Jesus quench the fear of death when I come to give my life for Him? When I come to death and it's time to give my love, my life for Jesus, will the love that I have for Jesus be that kind of a love that would quench my fear of death? That I could say, I am gladly going to death today. I'm gladly going to death today because I love my Lord Jesus. I will give my life for Jesus today. I will be with Him tomorrow. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I'd like to read a poem here this morning. It's in our hymn book. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still, but they have left an aching void the world can never fill. Return, O heavenly dove, return. Sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame. so purer light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. I think the writer of that hymn was talking about first love. The second commandment Jesus gives us is this: repent. Repent. Remember from whence thou hast fallen and repent. What a blessed word. What a blessed call from Jesus Christ to our hearts. Repent. Not, I'm done with you. Not, you've had it, it's over. But the call of Christ is repent. Even today, even now as you hear His voice, His cry is, repent. Repentance is a real thing in the heart and in the mind. It is not just the confession of wrong, but is the turning in the heart and mind. In this case, it is the turning back to those things which first love worked in us when we first knew the Lord. Repentance is a turning, and it begins in the heart, and it begins in the mind. When I see and I hear the Word of God, and I know that He's talking to me. The Lord Jesus is talking to me. And in my heart, I turn. I turn and go back to the place that He's saying I left. And I turn in my heart and in my mind and say, I am going back to where I came from. Repentance is unto something. When we repent unto something. Here, Christ is calling us to repent and turn back to first love. That's not a grievous commandment, is it, this morning? Is that grievous to us? I mean, all He's asking you to do is love Him. I want you to love me like you did it first. That's what I'm upset about. I'm not upset about all the other things that look so so difficult to you in your life to do and change and all those things. But this is I'm very concerned about. You don't love me like you used to. And those words to the beloved should be sharp words. And this word should not be one where we recoil at the call to repentance in a rebellious way. But Jesus is saying, repent and I'll be blessed with you. I'll be pleased with you. All those other things you're doing will blossom with new light. Christ is calling us to turn back to first love. The third word is do. I'm sorry to make it so clear. Jesus says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do. I don't think I have to explain that. I don't have to justify myself to say the Word of God this morning. But the Lord Jesus says, these are the things I want you to do if you've left your first love. I want you to first remember where you were. Acknowledge where you are. And repent. In your heart and mind, turn back to that. Now go and do. Is that okay? Can you hear the word of the Lord Jesus this morning? Now, beloved, go and do the things you did at first when you were in love. So what are the do's of first love? Well, there are things that hinder first love, so there are don't do's. When you do, there are things you don't do in order to do. Mark 4:19 says that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And I would have to say this morning that those three things don't just choke the word, it chokes the first love. Those are the cares of life. That could be ministerial cares. That could be family cares. That could be financial cares. That could be social cares. That could be personal cares. Cares of life. They're not wrong cares, but there's so many cares that they choke first love. So wrapped up in all my cares. There's riches. The deceitfulness of riches. If I could just abound in one area of my life, if I could just get ahead in this one area of my life, then it would be okay. And it just deceives me and leads me on, and love grows cold under the care and the pursuit of riches. And the lust of other things enters in. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Do we fear to love the world? Because the love of the world will kill the love of the Father. Do we fear to love the world? Gadgets, computers, cell phones, games, books, magazines, hobbies, pastimes, movies, and unprofitable conversations, just to name a few. Are those things, when we handle those things, is there a fear in our heart that says, this thing could steal my heart? This thing could be a lust of other things in my life that will choke the Word. Are we afraid to love the world? I had to think of Mose that on Wednesday here. He was talking about a young man that was trying to justify earrings and body piercing as if it didn't make a difference in a Christian's life if they were involved in those kind of things. And Moses put it out as if it was ludicrous even to think of those things. Well, here's, I think, the foundation of it. You mean to say you'll take your body there and do those things to your body for love of the Lord Jesus? I'm sorry. No, you won't. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There are things that restore the love. Things that restore the first love. There are sacrificial services for Jesus. You want to restore your love for the Lord Jesus? Go and pour yourself out for His name's sake somewhere. Just cross your flesh and say, I'm going to sacrifice myself for this, for Jesus Christ. Increased quiet time. Get alone with God and pour these things out. Lord, I want to restore my first love. I am returning back. God, show me, what do you want me to do today in love for you? Public confession. Public confession. Remember, in the beginning, when you were first in love with the Lord Jesus, public confession was not a problem, was it? Honesty with God. When you just were honest about everything going on in your life. Lord, I don't understand this. Lord, I don't understand that. Every problem I had in my life, I just take to the Lord and He talks to me about it and I work it through. He gives me answer and I thank Him for it. And honesty with God. A new song. Remember? Remember how a new song restates that first love in a new way and the heart just grabs hold of it and says, that's my favorite song right now. Because that's my first, that's a new song. Take a walk with God. I don't know what that means to most of you, but just go for a walk with God. And talk to God about the things in your life. Spend some quiet time just walking with Him. Maybe there's other ones that you brothers can share after the message is closed here, but most of all, the do that you must do is just turning your heart honestly to the Lord Jesus this morning and saying, "Will you show me myself and where I am with my first love?" Jesus said, "Remember and repent and do the first works." Can we stand our feet? We'll close with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You this morning. I want to thank You for Your Word. And not just for Your Word, but for Your heart that spoke it. Thank You for Your kind and gracious way with us sons of men. Thank You for holding out the opportunity of repentance to us again this morning. Thank You, Lord, for desiring us to walk in love with You. Thank You for Your commandments that are not grievous this morning. Pray Your blessing upon this congregation, that You would take Your Word and these words to every heart, and You would work deeply. You would comfort those that are right with God. You would convict those that are not right with God. That You would strengthen the weak. Encourage the weary this morning, Lord, by the Word of God. We bless You and we give You our thanks. Take us on, Lord. We want to be a church holy unto the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Amen. We bless God for His Word, don't we? We need to hear it, receive it, and do it. I would agree with Brother David that it's very easy to say that of the seven messages that Christ gave to the seven churches, that one probably does fit our situation the best in many, many ways. And again, not that the others don't have any application, but that one does, I think, have a very serious application for us, and one that we need to be, on the one hand, encouraged by, but I know it's one that I have gone to ask that question. You know, he said, are you willing this morning to just hold your heart up and ask God, how is my first love? And it is a challenge that I have. Many times, I can say many, many times, given myself over the years since I've been a minister, because it's pretty easy to focus on those cares. It's pretty easy to get busy doing a lot of things, but how dangerous it is. And I confess, I have a fear. I am afraid. I don't want to lose my first love. And it's actually a fear that I have woken up in the night about, just, you know, am I, God, do I love You? You know, and of course the answer is never enough, but that isn't the thing. It's more, am I leaving? You know, there's a different question. We can all sit here and say, don't listen to this passage and think, oh yeah, that's me, I need to love God more. That's not what this passage is saying. It's saying, have you left? And there's a difference in wanting to grow in something and leaving something. Wouldn't you agree that's a delineation in that scripture that we need to draw in our mind? Because you could just listen to a message like this, Brother David, and say, oh yeah, I do want to grow more in my love. That's not what this message is saying. There is a problem. And you need to remember what it was, and that he's accused them correctly, because Jesus always does, of that drift, of that leaving. And so, you know, this is, I believe, a message for us, and I would just beg all of us to ask that question that Brother David asked fairly near, I think, the beginning of the message, of are we willing to hold our heart up before the Lord and ask, you know, Lord, how is my heart? Have I left? And give me eyes to see, because several times in the book of Revelation, Jesus does say, he who has ears to hear, you know, and I guess that's the question. Do you have an ear? You know, are your ears open? Are you willing to hear that, if that is true of you? And I believe, again, as a church, you know, God has given us the grace of some of those things that it talks about in Revelation chapter 2 of being willing to look at the truth and stand for the truth. But it seems like when you're willing to do that, evidently, as it happened with Ephesus, and it can happen to anyone else who takes that stand, it's easy to then lose that first love, because maybe you just get so focused on that. I don't know if I know all the reasons, and I don't know that you explored all the reasons this morning. But I think we have to acknowledge that there must be something to that, because it happened to them. And so it can happen to us as well. So, amen. May God help us to remember, repent, and do. And I'm glad it's that simple. Aren't you? I'm glad it's that simple, that we can remember, repent, and do. Yeah, I wonder this morning if there wouldn't be some here who could maybe have something to share about where they're at with the Lord, or confession, or something to add to the message, that we could just acknowledge, you know, that is a need maybe in your life, a need that you see and you want to remember, repent. Here this morning publicly, I think that was one of the things David mentioned, a public confession. I was blessed by the family verses when Brother Daniel was willing to open his life up there and confess some of those things, and even confess some of his struggles there for a season. And I can tell you, brother, I don't understand all those spiritual dynamics maybe as well as I should sometimes, but there will be grace in your life because you are willing to open your mouth for Jesus. You know, it's just true. Grace comes into our life, and strength, just because we're willing to say, this is who I am, this is what God has done for me. There is grace in that. So, bless God. All right, well, if you want to raise your hand, we'll get a microphone and you can share here this morning. Then.
One thought I had on the message was, and for me, I think it's important, and for all of us, I would imagine, that not only have we left, but I think, too, am I leaving my first love? And to get through a door, of course, you have to walk towards it. And so I guess my prayer would be that I would recognize the process of leaving my first love as well, and that understandably it would be a process, and it would be little by little, as any sin in our lives can be. And how do we guard ourselves against those small rodents or whatever, you know, the sin that enters in and causes our feet to move towards that door of saying, I have left. And by then, I suppose it might be too late. So may I guard my heart against that. I'd also like to thank the church for their help in moving our family. That was a real blessing to us. It happened very quickly, and we're thankful for that.
Amen.
And so God bless you all for that.
Yes, I want to just thank the Lord for speaking to my heart this morning. I just felt like I should just publicly acknowledge that I do feel the Lord speaking to me, and I just want to thank Brother David for just being mindful of the moving of God's Spirit and preaching to us this morning, I can just see that I'm not where I used to be, and I want to go back to that. And I just ask you to pray for me.
Amen. Thank you, bro. Brother Steve.
Yes, I've felt that way for a while, that I really would desire for God to stir my heart more and more. And I had to think of these verses here in Hebrews. As Brother David was preaching, and some of maybe the tests of whether we are losing or walking away from our first love. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction." And I thought about that great fight of affliction, that after we were illuminated, after we were born again, there was that affliction that came upon us. "Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." And then the writer here says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." And, you know, we have a challenge here as we live here. We talked about, Brother David talked about some of those early martyrs, the martyrs that while they were still in that state of first love, they had the blessed privilege of giving themselves in love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have that same kind of persecution and that same kind of trials come upon us. And so this is a pertinent message to us, that we need to keep calling to remembrance. And I need that myself. And so let's pray for one another. I recognize that I need that each day, to keep calling to remembrance what the Lord has done, so that I would not fall out of love. So thank you, Brother David, for laboring in the Word.
Amen.
Yes, I just want to confess this morning that that's a need in my heart, and I feel like God has been showing me that in the past few weeks, that I have left the first love that I had for the Lord Jesus. And I want to confess that and to, I guess, take the steps that God wants me to take so that that first love can come back. And I believe that God has spoken to me very clearly this morning that some of the cares of life and maybe some of those things have taken me away. And I just ask you to pray for me in that area, that I could love the Lord Jesus with my whole heart and serve Him. Thank you.
Amen.
Here. I just wanted to confess that the Lord's also been speaking to my heart even before this morning on having lost the tenderness and love for the Lord Jesus that I once knew. I think losing a sense of the greatness of His forgiveness towards me and of how little I deserve all His goodness towards me, and focusing instead on duty and obedience and just a checklist of what I'm doing rather than a heart flowing with love. And I do just want to run after the Lord Jesus with all of my heart and to know His smile on my life.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Yeah, I would also say that it was interesting in this passage, and I think it's good for us to remember here, that Jesus did not condemn the church at Ephesus for being busy doing good works. And many of us here are doing good things, whether we're a mother busy taking care of our family or ministry or whatever it is we're doing. Those are all good things. And it's not a call of Jesus to throw those things out because they're wrong. But it's an issue of the heart. You know, it's an issue of the heart. Okay, where are we at? Yes, Brother Tommy.
Yes, I too want to just say that the Lord was definitely speaking to me through the message this morning. I had an interesting experience this morning. You know how when you wake up, you sometimes get random thoughts. And one of my random thoughts this morning was being tortured with drowning. And could I endure it for Christ? And found myself just gripped with a sense of fear and having to really reach for something to hold on to spiritually or in my heart. And the thing I went back to was what it was like when I first met the Lord. Just that sense that He was with me and that intimacy of fellowship. And just listening to the message today, I realized that intimacy, that very real presence of the Lord isn't there like it once was when I first began walking with the Lord. And just taking that to heart, that could I die for Him out of love? This morning it was just a sense of duty. I'm going to endure this, but it wasn't that sense of, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet you, Jesus. You're here. You're with me. I'm ready, you know, to step into your presence, so to speak, if all of that makes sense. And so I do. Mm-hmm. I just want to repent, you know, and be close to the Lord Jesus again.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to say something that I experienced one time when I was thinking about loving God, loving Jesus. And when we were first in Albania, I think it was that first year, and then we were really going through some pretty hard things. And one day when I had told the Lord that I loved Him, the thought came to me that, why do you say that? God knows if you love Him or not. And I was kind of confused. And then my little son, Danny, came running in the room right then, and he told me, Mommy, I love you. It just washed over me that I really believe the Lord wants us to tell Him that we love Him, and that it really, really helps us to stay close to Him. You know, really express to Him how we feel. And then I just thought I would share that. I thought that was very...
Amen.
Yes, I just want to thank the Lord for the message that Dad brought this morning, and I just want to testify too that the Lord has been speaking to me in this area over the last 2 months. And it was about 2 months ago that I felt like there was a cloud over my life, and I started seeking the Lord and asking the Lord to reveal to me why I had a cloud. And the Lord just over time showed me that there was a time about a couple years ago where I left my first love. And just like Brother Daniel King said about having unconfessed sin in your life, and the Lord just showed me that where it speaks, you know, in Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian fell asleep in the arbor and lost his scroll, and then when he awoke, he was ashamed of the fact that he had been sleeping. But instead of falling down and repenting of his sleep, he jumped up and tried to make time. And I just feel like God showed me so clearly that that is what I had done with my life. I had fallen asleep. And when I awoke and realized I had been sleeping instead of kneeling down and repenting, I jumped up and thought I'd make time. And in doing that, I lost that first love that God had given me. And I just thank the Lord. I thank Him for His mercy in showing me this. And I thank Him for restoring my first love. And I pray that I'll never lose it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
I just want to confess that in the last couple of months I've lost a lot of the love I once had for God, and I think it was just because I have just been not doing things if I don't feel like it, and slacking off on my quiet time with God if I don't feel like it, and I've just been focused way too much on my feelings and myself, and not focused on Christ and what all He has done for me. And I'm so unworthy of all His love, and I want to repent of how little I've loved Him and how I've been lazy and not giving Him all He deserves. And I just want you all to pray for me.
Amen. Thank you. It's always been very interesting to me that one of the commandments in the Bible is to love God. You know, because we think it's just an emotional feeling or something. And there are feelings. But part of the doing is doing. Love God, you know. And so may we love God with all of our heart. Where are we at? Over here. Okay, Roger.
I guess I'd covet your prayers. The last number of months, I feel like I've been drifting. And especially the last 2 months have been quite difficult to walk through, and I've allowed the busyness of life to take over, and just ask for your prayers to go draw back to the Lord.
Amen.
I confess that I have left my first love and been trying so hard to put my life back in order, but I can't without my first love, and I want to go back to that.
Okay, sister. Thank you.
Yeah, this week I was, early one morning, I was looking up at the stars, and it occurred to me that the stars do what they're supposed to do. But, you know, stars have no emotion and they have no longing and no love. And at times in our lives, we can suppose we're doing all the right things. But I was reminded there as I was meditating that I want to be filled with the passion and longing and loving Jesus. And that there may have been a dimension in my life, not overwhelmingly, I would say, but that I was perhaps being more like a star or like a rock. Or like a tree, which bring God pleasure, but there's no relationship. And I want to be a part of His creation that has a real relationship with Him.
Amen.
And that's what I'd like to do.
Amen. Over here in the middle.
God is so good to want to speak to us, isn't He? I just want to encourage us that Jesus' heart longs for our love. And as we love Him, we just find Him to be sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. The devil wants to tell us there's other things, but there's nothing in this entire world that could ever compare with just that sweetness of entering into His presence each morning. God loves us. He yearns after us. It breaks His heart if we're not loving Him. And you know, we all say, Lord, in our message, You know my heart. But there's nothing sweeter. And just I'd like to encourage us that Jesus is just longing, even this afternoon, to have sweet, deep communion with us. Yeah. Just desire that. And once that happens, I just share one incident, brother, that's with the Lord now. He shared with a brother in Turkey about Jesus Christ. And that person got converted. And he would see him over there and he would yell, "Hey, Jesus is Lord," or something like that. You don't do that in Turkey. But he loved Jesus. And that Turk disappeared. He's probably in heaven now. But that first love brought him to confess Jesus.
Amen.
And brethren, might we confess Him? There's so many millions that have never heard. And just around us, may we just be that light. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.